Hello, everybody, to the latest installment of the podcast of Language, Learning and Technology, Voices from LLT. Today, live from beautiful Minneapolis here at the University of Minnesota at the 2023 Calico Conference. And we have a very special podcast episode for you today because we had a wonderful event organized today by the Language Flagship Technology Innovation Center, who have what is called a launchpad event that they have been organizing for the last 5 or 6 years. I think this is the sixth installment this year, where a selection is made of really inspiring, promising, innovative new educational technology companies and projects. And well, today we had five finalists come in and do their presentations, their pitches in front of a very large audience, as well as a group of judges, and two prizes were awarded today. And we're here really to have a brief conversation with each of the five finalists. And the first one today is...
So I am Paige Poole, the head of product at Pangea Chat.
Welcome, Paige, and great job on your pitch today.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed your description of your project and your exciting plan. So we want to hear a little bit more about that. So for the benefit of those listening and viewing right now who were not either live or online during the event and who don't know about your product, tell us briefly, what is it that you are doing?
Yeah, so Pangea Chat aims to make language learning as fun, social, and interactive as students' digital lives outside the classroom. And we do that by allowing students to learn a language while texting their friends. So we have an instant messaging platform that was designed specifically for beginner and low intermediate language students at the high school and university level. And we allow them to learn a language while doing something they love, messaging, connecting with peers. And we also give them the agency to choose the topics that they want to talk about while learning a language. So whatever that might be.
Okay. And yeah, that might not be something that their teacher might have thought of.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we've heard from students that, you know, the textbooks, the materials, even some of the language learning apps are outdated, or they don't really let students talk about what they want to talk about while learning a language. So we hope to allow them to do that.
Oh, that's fantastic and probably really motivating for the learners as well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Have you done any research or observations of the impact that engaging this type of activity has on your learners?
So we just finished a small pilot study. We did an efficacy study as we did our spring pilot from January to May, and we are starting to analyze that data now. Okay. So I can't really speak to what the data says yet, but
it's
hopefully
still secret,
soon. Yeah, but lots of good comments from students. We do have comments about how they like that it resembles other messaging platforms like iMessage or like WhatsApp, and it gives them that familiar context of I'm texting and messaging with my friends, but in a space where they're actively learning. And so they've said, you know, it makes it fun, it brings some informality to their language practice, and so they do like that it connects with, you know, texting, which is what they spend a lot of time doing.
Exactly. And so you've described it as a texting app. It's mobile based, or is it?
Yeah, so it's available on a mobile version for Apple and Android, it's on the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and it is also available as a web version.
And so as a teacher, what would I have to do to use the application? Do I have to create a teacher's account, for example, and then have my students sign up for individual accounts, or can I sign up an entire class? How does it work in practice?
Yeah, so you would create an account as a teacher, and then once you've created your account, you would create a class space, very similar to what you would do in Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. And then you can invite students with a code or with a link, and then students would join your class either with that code or with that link.
All right, and so are you envisaging that the teacher would give the students instructions during class time, either online or physical class, and give them like ideas as to what to do or for how long to speak and those kinds of instructions are all done by the teacher, not by the app.
So the teacher really has a lot of freedom to decide how they want to use the app, and they can also decide to let it be totally student-led. So when a teacher creates a class, there are certain permissions they can set depending on what their ultimate goal is. Some of those include like whether students can send direct messages to each other, like private messages, whether students can create group chats, or whether that's something that only the teacher can do to have more control over the types of interactions. But students can also be asked to use it in the class space or outside of the class. We originally thought of it as something that students would be doing outside of class, so extending that language learning and practice outside the classroom. So taking what I'm learning in the classroom, applying it, you know, in a real world, authentic context with my peers, but also giving me that freedom. If I want to talk about something else with my classmates, I can.
All right. Nice one. So obviously, really, as a company, really got a feather in your cap today, because being a finalist in this is really an achievement. And so, I guess the question is, how is this going to help you and your team to move forward? And what's your vision? What's happening in, say, the next year or 2 years for you and the team?
So lots of exciting things. We're launching our commercial version on July 15th. So it's free to use until then. And we're really going to be working as well on submitting a phase 2 application for an NSF SBIR grant. We've got a phase 1 we're submitting for phase 2 that will also really help us with our development and moving faster and moving, getting more things onto the platform. We're really working on adding more elements of game design. So things like a point system for students, leaderboards, and also more feedback for students. That's really important for us, that students are getting individualized feedback as they're messaging, often in ways that are not currently possible for teachers to do during communicative tasks in the classroom. If you think about, you know, you've got a class of 20 students, they're doing small group communicative tasks. You can't give feedback to every one of those students, but they would be getting that feedback on Pangea chat. So working on more ways of making that possible.
So would they receive feedback from the teacher afterwards? Would the teacher be reading a transcript, for example, or are you offering feedback that is delivered by the app?
So it's delivered by the app. So every time a student sends a message, they're getting feedback. And so just to give you some examples, if I'm a student and I'm writing in my base language, the app is automatically going to come up and say, whoa, hey, I see you're writing in your base language. Let me help you get that in your target language. And the students are going to be led through an interactive translation flow where they're going to have to make critical choices about the language that they choose to translate their message into their target language. And for every choice they make, they're getting feedback on the accuracy of that choice. Also, if they need more information about the word that they're choosing, they're getting feedback in terms of definitions, contextual definitions as well. And then at the end, they're also getting feedback on the overall, let's say, accuracy of their translation. So how similar is what they've translated in this learning activity to what they intended to say in their base language. And then for those learners who are writing in their target language, they're also getting feedback. So if they have grammar mistakes, they're getting feedback on that. And this is all happening before they send a message. So it's a really low risk, high support environment. Students can feel comfortable about making these mistakes, getting that feedback, and then sending their message. And teachers can see an analysis of this to help guide learning and teaching in the classroom, curricular decisions and things.
So they can see that live as it's happening?
So they're not seeing the transcripts, but they're seeing, for example, how many messages students are sending at the class level, chat level, and individual student level. And then in terms of language learning, they're also able to see how many of those messages at those same three levels were sent with translation assistance, with grammar assistance, or totally in the target language without any assistance, which ideally is, you know, I've sent an accurate, comprehensible message in my target language.
Yeah, amazing. And you've come such a long way with the development in a relatively short amount of time, and it's a huge amount of work. So I guess just, you know, thinking of our audience, maybe graduate students, people who are thinking of developing something themselves, starting a company like you and your colleagues have done. Any advice for our listeners? Like, don't do it, or
Well, go for it. Know that it's a journey for sure. There will be lots of learning, lots of skint knees, and picking yourself back up. But I think some really important advice is speaking to whoever you are designing your product for as much and as often as possible. And once you have something that they can look at, get that in their hands so that you can get feedback from them. What do they like? What do they not like? Is this really addressing the need that they have? Is this helping them, right? Because the idea with any product is, you're helping someone do something they need to do in a better way than they could have done before. And so in our case, talking to teachers and talking to students has been invaluable. And the more you can do that, the better. And I think the better that your product will be in the sense of, meeting that need and really helping, in this case, teachers and students.
Mm, well said, well said. So you mentioned that until July 15, people can try out the app.
Yes, they can download it from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, use the web version. Okay. We've got some special pricing before then. So if you do decide, this is great, I want to use it with my students, before July 15th, we've got some special offers people can check out on our website. And then after that, it will be a freemium where they can message on the platform, but to get access to the language learning tools, they will have to have a subscription.
Yeah, and we'll put links to the app.
Awesome.
In the show notes. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, and congratulations again on your success.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. And now we have our second interviewee here. It's Anthony Spadafino from Linguistar.ai. And, well, Anthony, huge congratulations, because you not only won the prize today, but a second prize as well, the audience award, as well as the judges prize. So, yeah, congratulations. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Linguistar.ai, tell us briefly, what is it? What is it about?
Yeah, thanks for having us, by the way.
Sure.
To Calico. It's amazing to be here. So Linguistar.ai, it's a generative AI-powered chatbot that is intending to bring the power of conversational immersion into the classroom. So it is effectively a platform on which either a teacher or an independent learner can create any number of basically infinite conversation scenarios in which the generative AI portion, the large language models, are powering a live unscripted chat. And what that does is it allows students to basically have daily repetition of conversation practice. It allows teachers to integrate culture and adapt the generative AI platform to their curriculum so that it's very flexible. And then it also is personalized for every student. So it can adapt and learn over time about a student's level, as well as sort of integrate and evolve with the student as they mature in their language learning journey.
Right. So part of the secret sauce of your app, which makes it different from just giving students access to ChatGPT, is that it remembers your conversations that you had and what you spoke about and things like that.
Yeah. So not only are we overlaying a lot of useful functionality for the live conversation piece, right? Feedback on pronunciation, grammar, spelling, etc. But as you mentioned, the most important thing that we do is parse all of the data, whether that's audio data or text data, for improving the experience for every individual user. And that can be in the short term, meaning we are taking that data and we're saying, hey, you might have been able to pronounce this better, why don't we practice that pronunciation in a separate flow? Or it might be more medium to long term, where we're parsing data over multiple conversations and saying, we're seeing repeated mistakes, whether that's a conjugation, whether that's maybe unsophisticated vocabulary or misuse of vocabulary, and that's going to power post-conversation study games, activities, and then eventually when we get there, our AI is going to be able to recast those conversations in the next conversation so the student actually sees proper use of that grammatical structure, that vocabulary term, et cetera, in the course of a real conversation. And that's really, I think, the magic of AI is just the ability to personalize the experience for every student.
So from the teacher's perspective, if I'm in my class, how would I use this as part of a classroom activity, for example?
Yeah, so for us, first and foremost, a teacher can create as many classrooms as they want. They can invite students to those classrooms using a unique link. And then the teacher is in full control over what the student sees when they log into the platform. So they can, students can choose from pre-existing topics that LingoStar created. Mm-hmm. They can use our chat about anything feature, which means they can put in everything I showed in the demo today, a conversation about debating with our AI whether a hot dog is a sandwich, or the teacher can create their own topics. And I think that's the part that's most powerful right now for teachers, is that we at LingoStar believe that teachers are a really integral part of the language learning journey. We're not trying to replace curriculum. We actually want our chatbot to be able to talk about anything, quite literally anything, so that the chatbot can be used by teachers to effectively wrap itself around the existing curriculum. So say if you're learning in a Spanish class about la comida, then the teacher can create custom topics about, I don't know, tapas in Spain, and they can create custom topics, and the student not only is using the vocabulary that they're learning in the course of the classroom in a safe space, which is in a live conversation with the chatbot, but it also, like, over time is starting to learn about the students, as I said, is learn about their mistakes, so that over time we're able to track that student's progress from the beginning of the semester or year towards the end.
Yeah, well, what Anthony is not telling you here is that some students, he told me earlier, are apparently wanting to, learn the language to be able to ask somebody on a date and things like that. And what did you call the bot?
Well, we're creating a personality type for our chatbot, which we're calling FlirtyBot.
FlirtyBot. I think I suggested that would be a great name for the company, but maybe not. Yeah. So you've won two big prizes, huge achievement for you and your team.
Yep.
What's next for you and the company?
I think first is for product-wise, I think there's such a long roadmap. We're never finished building what we want to build. And for us, that really from an AI perspective, we really want to be able to nail down this concept of tracking progress. So how can we, using AI, train our model such that when a student gives us a few conversations worth of audio data as well as conversation data, we can peg them using the ACFL standards or the CEFR standards to a specific level, and so over time we can track that progress and actually measure that progress over time so that we know that we're delivering better outcomes. That's more on the product side. Mm-hmm. I think more on the business side, I think the most important thing for us is to, demonstrate the utility of this to different customer groups. Mm-hmm. That's why we love being invited to places like Calico, because we get a chance to meet with so many university professors and language centers and potential users, and we can really get that valuable feedback. So for us, it's about demonstrating the potential for this. To basically find investors and find clients and customers for the product.
Yeah, and so people watching and listening, I will put a link to the website into the show notes.
Yep.
If people want to reach out to you or use your product or do research on it, etc., any possibilities for collaboration you're looking for?
Yeah, totally. If you go on our website and you fill out a form, that email goes directly to me. We are not a major corporation. We are five passionate people who have been building this in our spare time. And we are really, really happy to try and use this technology for good. And specifically for the academic community, we are very committed to keeping the price as low, if not free, which it currently is free, committed to keeping this as low as possible so that the maximum amount of students, especially in K-12 and at universities around the world, have access to this type of technology. So please, if you have any specific use case and you're not sure whether this could, our technology could be adapted for it, just reach out via the website and I'll get back in touch with you right away.
Great, thank you. Final question, any advice for graduate students, recent entrepreneurs, potential entrepreneurs, any suggestions?
Yeah, I would say first off, there are so many of us that are passionate about this. And in some ways, you can view that as competition. And I really don't think that's the case. I think there's just so much energy and passion in this space around the world that, first and foremost, network yourself with other potential founders or other founders and with products that you really enjoy using. And I've gotten a chance to meet the other finalists for the Launchpad Award and have been thrilled to review their products with them and talk through it. So that's number one. And then number two, really think hard about how you're going to get this product in front of your core customers. The phrase, the product sells itself is not the truth. Okay, it's really hard, and it's really hard in education. And I think making sure you're really, really focused on who your target customer is, and then trying to speak with them as early and often as possible to understand their their true needs is going to really help you develop that product effectively.
Well said. Thank you very much, Anthony Spadafino, and congratulations again.
Yes, thank you.
Hello again, and this time we have the third finalist of the Launchpad event, Ling Peng, who yesterday presented and pitched her wonderful application, EduLing Speak. Ling, again, congratulations on your success. For those of us who were not at the pitch earlier, could you just briefly tell us what is EduLing Speak and what does it do?
Thank you. Hi, Owen. Hi, everyone. EduLing Speak basically connects learners to talk in pairs based on communicative tasks. So it's not really a free conversation. It's a conversation that is supported by tasks. And from my experience, I think that it is kind of the first, very first task-based app that does this, because I believe that learners need more oral practice or communication practice. So really, this is an opportunity for learners to have real communication to develop true communicative competence.
And would learners use the application independently outside the classroom, or is it also something that can be used with a teacher inside the classroom?
Yeah. They can use it outside the classroom because the idea is that they can find a partner to talk anytime, anywhere, when the number of users is big enough. However, they can also use this in the classroom when the teacher assigns tasks to them. So we do have a separate web-based educator dashboard for the teacher to assign tasks and listen to the student's recording and give a student's feedback.
Interesting. So if I'm logging in as a student from, say, here in Minneapolis, then how would I be paired with another learner?
That's a good question, because that's the main feature of the app. One way for learners to be paired is to join the live lounge. And if someone else also is there, they can get connected. Another way for them to get connected is to pin their profile in the connection lounge and make friends. They can also make friends with people that they know so that they can text them and schedule time to talk with one another. So there are a lot of ways to connect with each other.
And I know from your pitch that EduLing Speak is targeted also at younger learners. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with security, safety, online safety, etc.?
Actually, the app is now for learners at least 13 years old. So actually, the learner population is old enough to make the decisions in terms of opening a learner account. But for those parents who are concerned, they can create accounts for their children, and they can lock certain features as well. Like they can lock the live lounge, or they can lock the connection lounge as well,
right,
just for safety reasons.
Yes, and teachers probably would be able to do the same thing. If teachers were using it in class, then they could decide what features they want to be available for the learners.
Right now, it's not possible, because by now, if they want to create an account, they have to be old enough. But also in certain countries, I know that learners have to be at least 16 in order to do something like that, so parents can make that decisions for them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you obviously had a big success, being selected as one of the finalists here. So hopefully that will help you in the future development of your application. So what are your plans for short to medium term? What's next?
It's interesting that I can see that the app is always in beta in the form that I'm always improving it and developing it. I do have many big ideas and big plans for the future. One of the ideas is to have teachers create content, so that we have more content and more relevant content to students and teachers in different classrooms. The second idea is to open it up as a marketplace for different services like tutoring, coaching, language advising. And I hope to incorporate more automated feedback as well. I haven't mentioned that we also have AI correction and vocabulary analysis to give feedback to students. Mm. And students can also get feedback from the teacher. But hopefully there will be also more automated feedback for those who want to learn from their own experience and reflect on their speaking.
Mm. I know that you've worked on this application very hard in a relatively short period of time, and have added so many features. And in general, you have a lot of energy and you do a lot of different things. So for those listening and or watching who are perhaps thinking of their own future projects, have ideas, do you have any advice for our listeners.
Yeah, this is just something that I really enjoy doing. I enjoy creating materials. I enjoy bringing ideas into fruition. So, and as you know, I also have this kind of just do it attitude that if I have an idea and I'm passionate about it, I try to get it done and make it happen. So perhaps one of my my advice is to gather ideas, but if you are really passionate about it, get started and maybe improve on what you have.
Find your passion and just do it. You heard it here first. Ling, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now here we have the next finalist, Mage Jewel. Welcome. First of all, congratulations again on being one of the finalists. Can you just tell us very briefly, what is your program about?
Well, Mage Jewel is an AI-powered video game that teaches language. So it's a language learning AI-powered video game.
It's an AI-powered game. English only?
It's for multiple languages. Right now we have three languages that are implemented. Arabic, Mandarin, and Spanish.
Okay. AI-powered game. Is it going to be used by students learning independently or in class?
It's designed to complement formal language study. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that in language acquisition, fluency is a very tricky thing to get right. It takes a long time because in order to develop fluency, you need practice, and it's hard to get enough practice. What we're trying to do is accelerate fluency, and the way we do that is we give you an immersive video game where the learning activities are integrated into the gameplay. So as you're playing the game and going through the activities, you're doing the work, but it's also fun. Mm-hmm. And so our expectation is that students would play the game longer than they would endure in just studying in the traditional methods.
Right. And would they use it only while in class, or can they also do it at home, for example?
They can absolutely. It's designed to be used out of class.
Okay.
And it's designed to be something that you might do for homework.
Yeah.
And to build on what you've learned in class.
Right.
And one of the things that's a little bit unique about our approach is that we use a semantic similarity engine in our language production activity. And what that means is that it's an AI-based a large language model engine, and as you're producing the language, we're evaluating you based on meaning instead of on exact
matching
gold standard translation. And that is how we naturally acquire language.
Right.
It's about being understood and understanding and about comprehensible inputs and outputs. And so with the semantic similarity engine, we're able to reward the students for partial understanding.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever done other types of language games where you miss one word and then you have
start over.
That's not that helpful. It's not motivational, and it's not really helpful because it's about understanding and being understood. So that's one of the innovations in our game.
Very nice. So now you've got another feather in your cap because as a finalist, obviously it's a great success. What's next for your company?
So our goal, our next version of the game is coming out actually in just a few weeks. And we now want to get it in the hands of students.
Mm-hmm.
We want feedback. We want to understand what works well, what doesn't work well, and then a full efficacy study.
Okay.
That's all on the horizon in the next 6 months.
Wow, excellent. All right, so there will be some people listening who maybe have some of their own ideas, graduate students, maybe even people who are thinking of starting their own project or company. Any advice for them?
I mean, one of the things that has worked really well for us is we're working with the U.S. Air Force, and our customer, we meet with them weekly, and we iterate just like you do in software development. So we try things out. We don't get too far into the project without getting feedback.
Right.
And because what you think is going to work well for the students, or what you think is going to make sense, doesn't always happen when you're actually putting it into action. And so I would say that the most critical thing is having really regular contact. And it's a little scary because that means that you're showing things that aren't quite polished and aren't quite ready. And so you have to build that trust But the payoff is just enormous. And so if you can find a customer, even if it's someone who isn't paying you, but somebody who's willing to meet with you once a week and go through that process with you, it's extremely valuable.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Deanna Terzin from Mage Jewel, thank you so much and congratulations
thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
Hi again, here we are with Leah Sauder from DLS VR. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You were one of the finalists and that's a real success. For those of us who were not at the pitch, could you just briefly tell us what is DLS VR?
Sure. So DLS VR is an abbreviation for Diplomatic Language Services Virtual Reality, and we are a virtual reality system that is web-based, and students and instructors connect with each other in the virtual environment, online or in person, and they travel around to different countries virtually, sort of like a field trip to simulate an experience of being in another country. And we have a back-end editor that allows you to create modules easily without code. And so that's one of the nice features of DLS VR that makes it functional for even instructors and students to get involved with the design process.
Mm-hmm. And so in an average classroom, let's say I've got 18 or 20 students, how would this work? Would you have one headset and or two headsets and then rotate it around the class? Or
It's specifically designed for smaller class settings. That's what it really thrives in. And that was the environment that we created it for at DLS. The class sizes tend to be smaller, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three. And so it thrives more in an intimate setting because the instructor that's teaching students the language in the language classroom can then take the students into a VR experience, and it just augments their language training, gives them a chance to practice listening and speaking skills, and really focus on the culture as well, because they're touring landmarks of the place that they're studying about.
Right, and so would the teacher be with the students in the VR world at all times?
That's how it's designed. That's how it's most commonly used. We're experimenting with asynchronous, so self-exploration mode for students, and so working on figuring out how to do that in a very interactive way, because the teacher does provide a lot of interaction or prompts, tasks for the students to do in the VR environment, as well as the pedagogical elements that are embedded inside of the modules for students to interact with. But in an asynchronous format, then that needs to be built in. So we're working on that too.
Well, that nicely leads me to the next question, because you now have this success as a finalist of the Launchpad. So what are you working on next? What's next for the project?
So we are going to continue working on asynchronous modules, trying that out with our students, and then also potentially working to get the editor in front of teachers and students so that people in classrooms outside of DLS can also experience building VR modules.
Very exciting. So there might be some people listening, watching now who have their own ideas, projects, maybe some would even be thinking about starting their own company. Any words of wisdom for them?
Sure. I would say it's important to keep the excitement of the tool grounded in research. So what from research that we know works well can you bring into the app? So it's not just an app for its cool features and the excitement of it or the novelty of it, but how can you really embed that in pedagogy and a solid grounding in teaching or working towards whatever goal you have with the application?
Yeah, well said. Yeah, so if you're a teacher listening, never forget your teaching roots, right? Excellent. Well, again, congratulations on
Thank
your success.
You.
And that was DLS VR.